You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast. We're looking ahead to the racing at Ayr on this edition. We've also got Lingfield and Newton Abbott to come on a Monday afternoon. The evening cards come courtesy of Windsor and Wolverhampton domestically, and it's the first day of the Galway Festival as well. So six meetings in total to bring you on Monday. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair, joined by Alistair Jones to look back on some of Saturday's star performers and take a look at a couple of races at Ayr on Monday. First things first, Ali, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Sam?
Good. The rains have finally came as well.
In
droves.
Absolutely. All or nothing, yeah. We've hardly seen a drop, have we, for about 2 months, but now it's absolutely hurling it down everywhere. So expect some dodgy results, I think, over the next couple, you know, the next sort of. I think it dries up again, doesn't it?
Towards, yeah, it does.
After this sort of wet spell, so hopefully. But even so, you know, the ground is going to be very different than we've been accustomed to. So soft ground horses will have their chance all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I feel like we're going to be in for some big fields at some stage, because obviously over the last few weeks it's been too quick for horses, and once it gets back to proper good ground, there'll be a lot of horses that have been ready to run for a while.
Absolutely, yeah, there's going to be a lot of divisions, and there'll be 25 runner handicaps everywhere you look.
Yeah, all good fun. Love this time of year with Goodwood and Galway running at the same time over the next week. Plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a great week, isn't it? Bit of, you know, everybody's catered for, aren't they, with Goodwood and Galway, and there'll be a few horses laid out for them big pots over in Ireland. So, yeah, it's a great week.
Yes. Let's turn our attention to Saturday's action, though, first of all. And starting with the big race of the day, of course, the King George won by Poet's Word. Force Michael Stout and James Doyle beat stablemate Crystal Ocean in 2 second. Obviously, a lot of the news before the race, or a lot of the talk anyway, was on Cracksman's potential participation. Never really looked as though it was going to soften up suitably for Cracksman, so we lost a little bit with his withdrawal. But in the end, as the market suggested, it was fought out by the Stout pair.
Yeah, it's Michael Stout, of course. That means he's the most successful trainer in the race's history, going one ahead of Saeed Bin Sroor and Dick Hearn. He had all angles covered, didn't he, with the two form horses once Cracksman had come out. And a great race, a real race to savour, intriguing tactically, I thought. Obviously, Crystal Ocean being the proven stayer, if you like. And I know Poet's Word had won over a mile and a half, but, you know, he's got that bit more speed than his stable companion, having won a Prince of Wales Stakes, of course, over 10 furlongs. And great ride by James Doyle, and I think the race panned out ideally for him. You know, he did get a bit further back than I think he wanted, and he's done really well to quicken up past Crystal Ocean, who probably was three lengths ahead of him at one point up the straight. You know, they've pulled 9 lengths clear of Coronet, who is a really good yardstick, who runs Ascot particularly well, of course, impressive winner of the Ribblesdale last season. So I think it's rock solid form, and two horses that could even go on to better things, you know, given their profiles.
Well, I was just about to ask, where is next for this pair, do you think?
Well, Poet's Word's got all sorts of options, hasn't he? The Judd Munty, you know, he's so versatile. He's got every option going, really, from 10 to 12 furlongs.
Could we even see it go stateside for the Breeders'
Absolutely.
Cup?
Absolutely. I think ultimately that will be any good middle distance horse that Sir Michael Stout has with a bit of speed tends to be targeted at that race. He's won it with Conduit, Pilsudski. Of course, Elises would probably be favourite for it last year had he not come out late on. I've got I don't think Crystal Ocean is the right sort for that race, because you need a mile and a half horse with 10 furlong speed, and Poet's Word is exactly that. So I was just talking to somebody off air actually earlier, and we're trying to work out the there's a bigger gap between the ARC and the Breeders' Cup this year. So
right.
I think in an ideal world, Stout would probably like to run Crystal Ocean in the ARC and then keep Poet's Word for California. But saying that, horses beaten in the ARC have a perfectly good record in the Breeders' Cup turf. So it wouldn't surprise me if Poet's Word took in both gigs.
Right.
I think, you know, I think the owner will want to go for the ARC, because why not? You know, he's just working George. And the ARC can turn tactical. So, you know, I think Poet's Word has got all angles covered, really. And then, you know, try his luck in America. But, yeah, the future is bright.
It certainly is going to be very interesting to see where those two go next. Some of the other standouts of the day, I thought a real hat tip to Burnt Sugar, who took the international stakes as well. Not too many can go back-to-back in big handicaps like that, having won the Bunbury Cup prior to that. And I thought that was definitely one of the performances of the day, given that he'd obviously taken one of these ultra-competitive handicaps in his previous start as well.
Yeah, I know. Amazing, really. He was so overlooked. I mean, he went off at 20-1.
I know, yeah.
Which is bizarre, really. I mean, God, you can back worse 20-1s than that, can't you?
Very easily.
You know, yeah. he knows what these sort of races are all about as well, you know. Mm. And 7 furlongs is a real specialist trip.
It is, yeah.
And it's like an extended sprint. So if you've got top-quality big field handicap form over 7 furlongs, then... I mean, it's easy to say now, but he shouldn't have been going off at 20-1. First horse to do the double, the Bunbury Cup double, and the international in the same season since 2001.
Right.
So it takes a bit of doing, yeah, admittedly, yeah. But at 20-1, there's no question he was sort of, you know, by all of us, by me particularly, you know, you did think, well, that was his day in the sun, and he's not going to, you know, he'd be lucky to, you know, to yes. bag two big prizes. But
it's funny how we almost use past success against them, as a negative.
We're all guilty of it, aren't we? And you always look for the, you know, the horses like In Behind, who were, you know, Shady McCoy and Spanish City, who again was, who finished sixth, and again he got no luck. He's definitely a winner waiting to happen, the Varian horse. But you can't keep knocking Burnt Sugar. He just he rocks up and does the business. And the stable, Roger Fell, definitely an up and coming yard. They're having a real breakthrough season this year.
Yeah.
And Burnt Sugar, what, rated 100 now, probably got to 105. Could well be, you know, with that sort of figure, he's entitled to be running in Group 3s.
Mm. And I'm sure we will see him at that level next. Final word on Saturday's racing then, and the big race today at York, which ended up being an absolute thriller. Thundering Blue just seeing off Barocco and Alarcam. It was a neck back to Barocco in second and a further neck back to Alarcam, who finished in third. Alarcam, I suppose, the disappointment of the race for many people, but good to see Thundering Blue win a pot like that. He's a horse that's hinted at this kind of ability in the past.
Yeah, he was unlucky in the John Smith, wasn't he? Having looked back at that race again, and he definitely, on another day, could easily have won that. I didn't know for definite whether this was going to pan out favourably for him, really, because he's a horse who sort of hits a bit of a flat spot, doesn't he, before staying on. But they went a decent pace. Alakam, I guess, was a little disappointing, but you've got to put it into perspective. You know, he's a 3-year-old tackling horses that, you know, hardened campaigners. They were never going to give him an inch. It was never going to be easy. No 3-year-olds actually won that race since the first ever running in 2006 when Best Alibi won it for Sir Michael Stout. So I think to go down by a couple of necks, yeah, in the face of it, it's disappointing when he's getting weight from older horses, and he was good enough to be fourth in a 2,000 guineas. But it wasn't that bad a run, you know.
Mm.
It's only because they think so much of him that you consider it as a bit of a negative performance.
Yeah.
But I'd say, you know, it's certainly... it was an improved effort from Ireland when he was, you know, he really blew out. So I don't think they'll be completely underwhelmed by that performance. I think he ran okay. Might just be the kind who'll make a better 4-year-old, I think.
Yeah.
Alakam still looks a bit unfurnished, you know. So if you backed him, yeah, he was disappointing. But I think to go down by a couple of necks in a race of that nature wasn't too bad a run.
With the pedigree as well, people expect so much. I mean, there are a lot of nicely bred horses, but by Frankel out of Attraction.
I know, you can't get a lot better than that, can
indeed,
you?
Yeah. So I think people expect, you know, absolute great things from Alarcam.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where that goes. We're on to Monday's racing now. We're going to go to Ayr and deal with a couple of contests on their programme and reasonable field sizes as well at Ayr on Monday. We start with the 4 o'clock. This is a handicap over a mile and a quarter. Got 11 of them down to go to post for this one. Betting likely to be topped by Ventura Dragon. That's the favourite on the forecast anyway. Where do you go here, Ali?
Yeah, it's an open race, and obviously complicated by the fact that they've had rain up there, and there's there's going to be more forecast as well on the day, I believe, so it could be pretty testing. So I've sort of tried to pick out a couple of soft ground horses, basically, who haven't been in the best of form, but, you know, like many horses who need cut underfoot, you know, good to firm ground, has been no good to them of late. I think one who could be a surprise package here is number seven, Al Destor, who is well handicapped on the pick of last year's form, and he wasn't beaten that far behind at Chester first time back. And then he sort of blew out around Chelmsford, but he wouldn't be the first horse really not to take it, you know, take to the Chelmsford track and the surface there. I think back at Ayr with cut underfoot, I expect this horse to, you know, leave his recent form behind. And as I said, on the best of last year's form, he's well handicapped. So I think at hopefully double figure odds, I think the chance will be well worth taking. Nicholas T is a horse definitely worth mentioning. Number three, he's been he was really unlucky last time. He's bumped into a couple of improvers the last twice, but he's one who really wants good ground. So I'd have reservations about him holding his form. So it's Al Destor for me.
Al Destor gets the nod then in that 4 o'clock race at Ayr. Half an hour later is where we go next to the 4:30. This is a handicap over 6 furlongs this time. Against, are you applying similar tactics here? Are you looking for those who are likely to appreciate a bit of juice?
Yeah, this is a really good race. It's good quality, and there's some really interesting horses running here. My Name Is Rio, you can make a case for that. Also the David O'Meara horse, who ex-French, is potentially well handicapped, but the one I'm interested in here is Kenny the Captain. Tim Easterby's having an absolute mega season. He had the first two in the big sprint at York, obviously on Saturday. He's just having a great campaign, and Kenny the Captain has yet to play his part. He's only ran there once. That was only last week when a front running second at Redcar. That was a really good performance from a horse with no great record when fresh. So he normally comes on for his first run of the season. If that's the case on Monday, then he's going to take a lot of beating, I think. And he's a horse who will definitely like the ground. So I think off a good mark on the back of a really positive performance last week, expect Kenny the Captain to take a bit of beating.
Kenny the Captain then in the 4:30. Those are the selections of Alistair Jones for Monday's racing. And you can hear it all live from 1:10 on Racing Radio with Dave Kelner, Sean Quinn and Andy Holding in the studio. Thanks for that, Ali. Best of luck.
Thanks, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.